Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And on we go with a rendition of our theme song performed by artificial intelligence. The quote-unquote performer who covered our theme song there is Holly Plus. It's the creation of artist and musician Holly Herndon, whose body of work focuses on the intersection of art and technology. Holly Plus is a website that takes a piece of uploaded sound and re-renders it, the lyrics, the instrumentation, all in Holly Herndon's voice. Holly the person describes Holly Plus as her digital twin and an experiment in communal voice ownership. It's meant to get out in front of some of the ethical questions that are posed by what she calls vocal deepfakes. And vocal deepfakes have been a hot topic over the past few weeks, as Morgan Neville, director of the Anthony Bourdain documentary Roadrunner, admitted to using a deepfake of Bourdain's voice in the film. He told The New Yorker, quote, "We can have a documentary ethics panel about it later." The ethical questions that Herndon asked center on how this technology could affect musicians and artists. In Herndon's own words, quote, "Vocal deepfakes are here to stay. A balance needs to be found between protecting artists and encouraging people to experiment with a new and exciting technology." Join me now to talk about Holly Plus and her work at the intersection of artistry and AI is Holly Herndon. Holly, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
And I want to start out by saying this is a new wheel, a new place for me, a new territory. So if I don't say something right or if I word something wrong, please correct me because I really want to learn more about this.
Let's
start by getting to know Holly Plus, who, as I mentioned, you call your digital twin. We have some clips to illustrate her musical chops. But before we hear those, can you introduce us to Holly Plus? Tell us about her.
So I've been working with neural nets. I like to say neural nets or machine learning rather than AI, because okay. I feel like AI has all of these kind of like loaded connotations. And really, you're just kind of teaching a machine. You're a machine is learning your voice. So I've been working on this for a couple years now. And, you know, my last album, Proto, I modeled my own voice and the voice of a vocal ensemble. We created this kind of futuristic choir where the machines and the humans are singing together. And so I wanted to make this tool available for also my fans and people to be able to play with to make it a little bit more accessible. So I teamed up with Never Before Heard Sounds, which are based in New York City. They're an amazing kind of music technology company, and they're working specifically on model technology. And so we trained Holly Plus on hours of my voice, and she basically learned the kind of texture, timbral information from my voice, and then she's able to apply that to any spectrogram that she encounters, which is just really exciting.
All right, my producer, Zach, they're very into this. So they picked out a track they think's appropriate for this subject. It's an excerpt of Janelle Monáe's Dirty Computer featuring Brian Williams. Brian Wilson. Let's hear about 20 seconds of the original version of it.
Dirty Computer.
And now let's play the clip of that song performed by Holly Plus. Oh, that's so cool. Can you tell us how that works?
So yeah, like I mentioned before, we basically trained the model on hours of my singing voice. And what's basically happening is we're kind of resynthesizing the audio from a spectrogram in the style of my voice. So using the kind of texture and timbral information from my voice. So, you know, it's not perfect. You can still hear that it's kind of a machine learning tool. It has that very kind of like scratchy timbral sound that a lot of machine learning tools have. But I feel like it kind of illustrates where things are very quickly going. And what is kind of the really interesting breakthrough here is that it's able to handle polyphonic audio. So the full song, it's not just dealing with an individual instrument. It's taking the entire song and translating that to my voice. So it's really exciting.
You know, this isn't just about the tech or the experiment of it, about machine learning and voices. There's so many layers to this. The conversation about digital rights and intellectual property. You write that it is an experiment in communal voice ownership. Tell us what you mean by that, communal voice ownership.
Well, you know, working with the voice model, it made me question this idea of vocal sovereignty. What does it mean to own your own voice? What is a voice? You know, a voice is something that we really develop communally through language. You know, we listen to our family and the community around us, and we mimic those around us. And even kind of like vocal styles, like a pop vocal or a bel canto style, is kind of learned through mimesis, but then performed as the individual. So there's a kind of balance that has to be found there between the communal and the individual when it comes to the voice.
My guest is Holly Herndon. We're talking about Holly Plus, her creation. She's a composer, a musician, and a sound artist. How did you get into this type of work, this blend of technology and art? And what's interesting to you about working at that intersection?
Oh, that's a really good question. I mean, I grew up in rural East Tennessee.
Ooh, did we lose Holly's connection?
And the voice.
Oh, there she is. Holly, I'm going to ask you to start that answer. Holly, you're going in and out on your Skype. Would you mind starting that answer over again?
Of course. Yeah. So I grew up in East Tennessee, and I grew up singing in choirs and, you know, listening to a lot of really great country music. And so the voice always kind of loomed large. And then when I started composing, you know, I tried playing different instruments, and it wasn't until I started programming my laptop that I really felt like I found my unique voice. And I always say that, you know, I've been blessed with a kind of mediocre voice. Because it kind of pushed me to find a way to create something really special through technology and vocal processing. And so this kind of like, meta instrument that I've created, which is my voice plus my laptop, has become then my primary instrument.
Let's play another clip. This is one from Proto, your 2019 album release. It's called Evening Shade Live Training. This is what it sounds like when you are training, you are teaching machine learning about your voice. Let's take a listen. Thinking about what these tools are they instruments, are they collaborators, is this something entirely independent?
That's a really good question. I don't think it's entirely independent. I think that's the kind of fallacy of AI or machine learning, you know, that it is this kind of alien other. It's actually just human intelligence in aggregate, right? It's just us. It's just kind of a mirror to us. So I see it more as a kind of collaborator or a tool. Just it depends on how you're using it. But I definitely think it's here to stay. And I think that it'll be a really important part of any kind of music studio of the future.
What's challenging about getting at artistry when you're working with technologies that were designed perhaps with other applications in mind?
I think for me, what was challenging with the machine learning specifically is I was so used to everything being in real time. You know, when you play an instrument, you immediately hear the sound, or when, you know, if I set up a kind of digital process on my computer, I can immediately audition it with my ear. But with the models that I was working with, everything was so rendering intensive. I felt like I was going back in time to the days of, like, you know, computer card composition, where you would have to leave something rendering overnight and then hear the next day what it sounded like. But that was really when I started, and now things are rapidly increasing and improving so quickly that things are starting to become real time. And I think that's when things are going to get really musical and exciting, because mm-hmm. musicians will be able to kind of improvise with the systems in real time and not have to wait for these kind of heavy rendering times.
My guest is Holly Herngen, the composer, musician, and sound artist, and the creator of Holly Plus, which is machine learning and neural networks, as she likes to call them, as she explained to us why she calls them that. You know, it's been, I'm sure you've been asked about this, but I feel like I really want to hear it from you myself, about the Anthony Bourdain documentary, Roadrunner, where it has been reported by The New Yorker that his voice, the late Anthony Bourdain's voice, was deepfaked to make it seem like he read emails that he never read. What conclusions have you come to through your work about how and when this technology should be used and when it crosses a line into being inappropriately used?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's so much gray area here. For me personally, what I decided to do is I decided to set up a DAO, which is basically a kind of online cooperative where people who I trust that know my voice and know my music will be able to steward my voice after my death. So that might sound a little bit morbid, but I feel like a lot of artists might need to be thinking about this now, because things are kind of accelerating to that point where the technology is that good that you can make it sound really realistic. So for me, I prefer to have a kind of community of trusted stewards who can make those decisions after I'm gone.
How do you think about this machine learning? How is it going to fit into other things in our daily lives, like social media? You know, the things that have definitely changed our relationship with technology.
I mean, I think we already see artificial intelligence in kind of like recommendation systems and, you know, how, you know, which posts appear where. I think we're already, our kind of online experience of the metaverse is already in some ways kind of directed by AIs or by algorithms in general. So I think it's almost something that is invisible at first, if you're not really, if you don't know what to look for. But I think it's already there.
Working with all these renderings of your voice and your face with various reconstructions and disintegrations, how has working with this changed your work, your other work, other things you do creatively?
Well, I think for me, I'm really interested in kind of taking an approach where I'm trying to open things up and being less restrictive about, you know, who can use my voice. I mean, obviously, I'm open sourcing and allowing anyone to use it. I'm really excited to see if other people decide to make an album with my voice or even my likeness. I'm really curious where that goes. It kind of opens up this new possibility where you can collaborate with, you know, way more people than you ever could before. And then you also kind of have the situation where, okay, there could be a lot of work that you really don't like or that you really don't want, you know, to be associated mm-hmm. with you. So we came up with an idea where you can kind of authenticate certain work. So our DAO, our collective, is able to kind of, you know, sign a kind of seal of approval on certain works to say, like, hey, this is something that we think really represents the Holly Plus project. So I think it'll be an interesting kind of combination of both kind of approved works and works just in the wild. And I'm really curious to see how those interact.
My guest has been artist and musician Holly Herngen. Her latest project is her digital twin, Holly Plus. You can try it out for yourself at holly.plus. Holly, thank you so much for explaining all of this to me.
Thanks so much for having me. It was fun.